Augustine College was started about 10 years ago. Well, it's 10 years this year. It's not our doing, it's something that God did to us, or at least that's the way we feel about it. It began because of several discontents. The first discontent was professorial. A whole bunch of senior professors in the University of Ottawa were brought together, I think by grace and by providence, and we were all of us upset with the university. And out of that, I suppose that would be in the late 80s, we started meeting together to read serious literature on the nature of education. Now, the things that were driving us was, first, that our students were increasingly biblically illiterate, and secondly, that they no longer came even with the expectation that they would build an intellectual framework for their life of which they could be proud. They came to get credits, which they got by taking exams, which they couldn't pass 6 weeks after they took them. In other words, there was no integrated process going on. So that was one thing we knew about. And also we knew that standards in the university were dropping. 30 years ago, to get into an English program, you needed one classical language, one modern language, and English, as a minimum. Now you only need English. Nobody can pretend that that's progress. That was one thing we knew. The other thing that we were aware of was that Bible college doesn't actually fix the problem. We didn't know why. It had helped in the past more than it does now, but of course the reason is that we live in a society in the Western world, the first one in the history of the world, which has espoused moral relativism at the elite levels. That's an incoherent idea. But once you accept it, it means that objective moral truth no longer exists. Well, if there is no objective moral truth, how do you define sin? Because sin is breaking objective moral truth. So most of the young people today don't actually think about sin in anything like the way that anybody with grey hair does. In fact, there is a sense in which our job as Christians today is more difficult even than our Lord's, because he came preaching a gospel of repentance. But repentance doesn't make any sense in a morally relativistic society. You can talk about justice, and that's a way in, because of course it falls apart and you can show them why. You can talk about meaning and you get a huge response, because again you can show them that meaning can't exist without something beyond themselves. So those sorts of things came out of the discussions that would go on Tuesday mornings. We read everything from the Greeks to Alistair McIntyre. No paper trail, no advertising. Sometimes we had 20 people to breakfast, and we had as many as, I think, 25 languages at peak one morning. But all the ancient languages were represented. And graduate students started coming in. And then homeschooling mums and dads combined with the graduate students got on our case, because the graduate students very quickly said, you're always complaining about our formation, why don't you do something about it? And we'd got as far as realizing what probably needed to be done is that no one should go to a modern multiversity without first having some sense of who they were and how they came to that situation. And they came to that situation out of Greek and Hebrew ideas modified by the church. The Aztecs and the rest of the world have very little to do with who we are today. It's those three cultures that made us. And the university will not acknowledge that. But these mums and dads and graduate students realize that there's a very obvious Achilles heel to any professor. We're all addicted to the sound of our own voice. So they said, would you give a lecture on what real Christian education would look like as an introduction to university if you did it? So three of us agreed to take part in an evening session. We thought there might be 25 people. Over 100 turned up. And at the end of the evening, they said, well, when are you going to start? And we said, well, we're not going to start, because we can't do it in the university, and between us, we don't have the skills required to run a hot dog stand, let alone a college. But they'd realize we would probably use that escape clause, and a lawyer and a doctor And an accountant said, well, we'll provide that backup if you'll do it. So 10 years ago, we started in a church basement. The other way I can illustrate to you what has happened in January, just over 18 months ago, David Stewart, who teaches the history of art along with Edward Tingley, said, can we all meet the profs? Because we all have day jobs. We don't get paid from the college. We get an honorarium if there's any money in the bank. He said, can we all meet on the first Sunday in the new year and talk about the college? And most of us could, and that was a nice idea. And he said, why don't we send an email around the alumni so that those who live in Ottawa could come and tell us how they're getting on? Well, we did that. And to my astonishment, we had almost half our graduates turn up. They flew in from as far away as Texas and New York, Chicago and Alberta for tea. Now, I have never been back to any institution that allegedly educated me, but they did. I was deeply moved by that. Of course, what they actually did, because each year, being a small group, bond very closely. When our email went round, those that had one of their year in Ottawa, they just called them and said, can we all crash on your floor? And they had their own mini reunion, and then they came on Sunday afternoon. But nevertheless, it gives you some sense of how they feel about what we do. And certainly at graduation every year, we have to provide particularly mums with Kleenex, you know, because they can't believe what can be done. It's not like school where you memorize and dump. There's a real sense of building something that could have eternal significance.